Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's an amazing day. Shabbat shalom to all the sons of Yah. It's Torah today. Celebrate the word of Yah with us. It's an exciting time to be alive, and it's an exciting time to follow the instruction of our Father. We're going to talk a little bit about instructions today, as we're always talking about. But you know, something became so clear to me yesterday as the Father was speaking to me about some things, and he's been talking about this me-centric mentality. Over the course of as I was driving, he began to talk about the term self-discipline. Self-discipline. You know, I think we give ourselves a lot of credit for things that really don't have anything to do with our abilities. And the reality is, he began to talk to me about the self-discipline piece. And the thing that he said was, you know, we don't operate from a place of self-discipline. Self-control, or I'm using the wrong line. I was tying the two together. We don't operate from self anything really, but self-control is the thing that I'm dealing with. Forgive me. Self-control. Sons operate from a place of discipline, and there is a distinct difference, a very distinctive difference between us controlling ourselves and operating in discipline that is given to us, the discipline that we are being trained in. A discipline is something that we have an actual regimen for, but the regimen has to come from somewhere. It doesn't necessarily come from ourselves. It may come from within us, but that is still not of ourselves. It is in ourselves because of what the Father has put in us, because of the relationship. So he was really kind of dealing with this dynamic of self, the self kind of, you know, identity and ideology. And he was distinctly dealing with that phrase, self-control. As you know what, really the reality is, it's not even a such thing. It's not a such thing as self-control. People that have mastered some areas, they have a discipline. So that discipline is coming from something that they believe. It's coming from a belief system. And so at the end of the day, he's really dealing with this self thing. He really is. And it's really about him. You know, it's really about him ultimately. For him, it's about us, but for us, it's about him. And that's the dynamic of real relationship. You know, for him, it's not about him. For him, it's about us. And for us, it's about him. That's the same with a marriage. You know, that's the way a marriage should look. That's the way a covenant should look. The covenant is not just about the person that are going into covenant. They're not coming into covenant for themselves alone. They're coming into covenant for the purpose of the other person or the other person. It's the same thing with a merger or a business. Yes, there are some benefits to myself, but my focus is not the benefit to myself. If it's a true relationship, I can identify the benefit to the person or the person. In business, I can identify the benefit to the business that I'm coming in to merge with, and the benefit on both parts. You know, how it's going to be beneficial both ways. It's a reciprocal thing. I'm going to be able to offer this, and in turn, you're going to be able to offer this. And together, this is what's being created. This is the dynamic of success that's being created. I don't know. I had to go off on that tangent for a minute, but good morning to everybody. It's Torah today, and today's Parashat Vayikanan. It's going to come from Parashat Vayikanan. It's going to come from Deuteronomy chapter 3, chapter 23. No, chapter 3, let me slow down. Chapter 3, verse 23 is where it's going to start. And it's going to go through Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 11. So let me reiterate, today's Torah theme or parashah is Vayetkanan. And this parashah is going to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, and go through 7:11. Then there's the Haftarah, which is the prophetic portion. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 26, and then the Good Message version of the Good Message portion of that is going to be Luke chapter 3, verses 2 through 15. One of the things that sticks out in this portion for me was that Yah fights for you. And we've been talking about the Hebrew children, so it's so apropos that this is the conversation. Talking about the Hebrew children going into the place of promise, and how they were unable, that first generation was unable to come into that promise because they didn't understand this one thing, even though it had been proven to them over and over again. We've also been talking about the proof of Yah. You know, the Bible talks about that the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it talks about the word being for reproof. And correction, all of these things. And we'll go there. We'll go there. Reproof, meaning the proof of something. And when a thing is proven, if you believe something opposite of the proof that's been, then there is a corrective measure that happens in your life. And the Father constantly, in the renewal of our mind, as we are attending to the word, there is a proof of who he is. There's a proof of what he's doing. There's a proof of who he created us to be. And then the correction has to come to us about how we're walking, how we're moving, how we are identifying ourselves. And so he fights for us. Yah fights for us. And this is a real reality check. If you have not checked yourself in this area yet, you need to check yourself in this area, because if you don't understand that Yah fights for you, then you will contend for yourself. You'll be, you know, it goes back to that self thing. You'll be defending yourself. You'll always feel a need to defend yourself. You'll always feel a need to attempt to prove yourself to people, you know. But when you know that Yah fights for you, you don't have anything to prove. You know, the proof is going to be in the pudding, as people say. The proof is going to be in the way that you live. The proof is going to be in your lifestyle. But you don't have anything to prove. It says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Not that we're going out of our way to prove everybody wrong and make sure that they understand that we're right. He prepares a table. And even when the table is prepared, this is the thing about the Father, even when the table is prepared, that table is not prepared for you to sit and flaunt what's prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. It actually is a table that is prepared for you to provide. Oh my God. I know this is throwing some people all the way off, because you've been thinking that that preparation of a table before you in the presence of your enemies was about you flaunting what the Father had done and and sticking your tongue out. You know what I'm saying? And it was not that at all. It's not about that at all. It's about you identifying with this provision and having the heart of Yah to provide even for those who have done harm to you or attempted to do harm to you. Because you know what the truth of the matter is? Some people just don't know no better. They're just functioning from a place they've always functioned from. They don't even recognize that they're being used of the adversary the way that they're just functioning as what they know to function. I mean, it's always been a place, because they're not relational with the Father. There's always been this place of this, or this dynamic of them wanting to have a specific position or whatever. And if it looks like you're threatening that position, you know, you can look at Joseph's brothers. They were that way. They felt their position being threatened. They felt their positions as sons was compromised. You know, you have all this favor for this boy, and what are we, just Wheaties? I mean, you know, what are we, rice? I mean, who are we to you? You know, there's this comparison. They had a need for comparison, and comparison is always going to bring us to a place where we compromise how we should be functioning or behaving. Comparison is a devilish place to live in, because comparison always breeds envy and jealousy and strife and all of these things. And this is the reason why Joseph's brothers threw him in the pit, but they didn't understand that pit position to get to the palace place. And when he got to that palace place, that was the table that was prepared before him in the presence of enemies, because they needed him. And when they needed him, he didn't say, "Nah, y'all threw me in that pit. Now you need something." You know, he didn't do that. He told them, "Don't be afraid." When they realized who he was, "Don't be afraid. Not only am I not going to do anything to harm you, but I'm going to take care of your children. I'm going to take care of everything that comes of you." He said to them, "You meant it for evil," because there are people that just mean harm to you. He said, "You meant it for evil, but Yah meant it for good, to save much people alive." I had to go through this process to get to this place, this palace place, to get to this royal place, so that you would not be destroyed. I promise you, that's a real place. I'm excited about today's theme. The highlights of Torah is something that we're going to discuss today. We're going to have a remembrance of the strength and power of Yah. We're going to talk about his chosen. We want you to just come and assemble for the reading, the hearing, and the reverencing of Yah through the fellowship around Torah. It is this bread that gives us life. You remember the word says that man doesn't live by what he eats alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yah. This is a word of Yah. Torah, foundational piece for every believer. And there's a way that seems right unto men, but there's a destruction at its end. You know, we go about doing our daily tasks, and man just has its own way of doing what it does, whether it's religion, whether it is all of these other functions that it does, all of it kind of stemming from a religious perspective or religion identity, some identity of some form of a religion or belief system. But whatever that thing is, it's a way that seems right, but there's a way of destruction that comes of that way. But when we identify the way that the Father established for us, which is that rest on the Sabbath, that rest in that seventh day, and acknowledging who he is by that rest, and then identifying where we've come from, what's been accomplished, all of these different things. I thought it was so profound last night that the Father, right at sundown, began to show me that something that I'm functioning in today was always coming into my email box. I had to go back. I was looking for something, and so I put in my search in my email, a specific thing, and all of this stuff pops up, and I'm like, man, what I just walked into about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, has always been, and it's funny because I had established some things, you know, over the last couple of years. Some things have been established. Matter of fact, over the last 7 or 8 years, there were some things established that I didn't even know were part of a puzzle for something that I would be doing today. But because I was led that way, led in that direction, I didn't have all of the identification of those things. But this is, you know, it's so funny because it's simple. It's so simple that there's just a few things that separate you from where you are today and the breakthrough that he's calling you to. It's such a fine line. Like, you are moments away from crossing over. Like, you're just a mental idea, a mental picture, a belief system. It's something small that's separating you from that place. I love this concept. Isaiah, somewhere in Isaiah, there's a conversation, "Shall a nation be born in a day?" I think I have it up already. I want to pull that up because I want you to see this. The question is, shall a nation be born in one day? I believe it's Isaiah chapter 66. That is verse 8. Shall a nation be born in one day? No one has ever heard of a new nation beginning or being brought forth in a day. You know, but this is what the Father did with Israel. He chose them. No other God, you'll see that in our Torah portion today, you have no other record of any other God going and choosing a nation and speaking to them and desiring to set them up. You know, there's nothing seen like that in the history of men. And even people that say they hear voices and that kind of thing, what God has desired to bring his people into a place of establishment, okay, to set them up and to put them in a position where there is no diabolic nature concerning this situation, where they're not going to be dragged through the mud, where it's not just about him, but it's about them. And there's a relational dynamic that, you know, we're working in tandem. We're working hand in hand. We're working together to get something accomplished in the earth. I need you just as much as you need me. I've heard people say that Father don't need us, and that's so far from the truth. If he didn't need us, he would have never created us. He had a specific system, and he was working the system that he created. He is Yah, and he could do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, but he has chosen not to do that. He chooses to follow the laws that he put in place. He is not a hypocrite. That's the other thing I love about the Father. And we don't really talk about that side of who he is, but he is not a hypocrite. He's not. He doesn't tell us to do one thing and he's doing something else. The same way that he desires us to carry ourselves as it pertains to relational dynamics is the same exact way that he carries himself. He said, listen, I didn't create you to be in the world by yourself. You're not all one. This is a word maybe years ago. No man was created or born into the earth all one. In other words, you are not by yourself. There are millions, billions of people in the earth, and there's purpose behind there being people in the earth and not just a person. And he follows that same line, you know. He doesn't just do things, you know, by himself. He partners with his son to get the job done. And I just think that's just such an amazing Just such an amazing thing that he's not a hypocrite. Same law that he produced is the same law that he follows. He doesn't give rules and regulations that are only for us and not for him. I think that's just beautiful. And that's an extremely amazing dynamic for us to realize as parents, you know, that we're not just telling people what to do, but we're showing them what to do. Now, in other seasons of our life, there are things that we missed. There are things that we did not do a certain way. We didn't know to do certain things. But even in this moment where a father is given revelation and he's revealing himself and understanding is coming, these are things that we have to still have conversations with our children and our children's children about, because they have to know the strength of our God. Not only do they have to know it because we're speaking it, they have to know it because they're seeing it. And there's some things that you can change, some dynamics that you can change, some powers and principalities that you can break in your family line just as a result of you becoming all that the Father called you to be. Just as a result of you being open to receive what he's saying, being open to receive the breakthrough in the areas of life that he's calling you to, so that they will see, yes, there have been some breakthroughs that you've received and people can see this, but not all of them understand the dynamics of that. Like grandbabies, they don't understand the dynamics of where you come from. People that are older than those grandbabies, maybe your children, maybe your parents, maybe your aunts and uncles, you know, maybe some people like that could see the hand of Yah on your life at this point versus what, but your children and your grandchildren may not see that way quite. You know, they need to see the now. They need to see what's happening now. Your now is going to speak to them. What happened before speaks to the people that are older than them. It kind of gives them a general direction as to where you're going, even if they don't receive it or believe it, they can see it, okay? But the children, they're going to need to see another level of tangibility in order to identify. And then when they see that level of tangibility, they'll be able to say or hear what you're saying when you tell them, this is where I came from. This is the path that I took. They'll be able to see, you know, a clearer picture of who you are. Good morning to everybody. I'm going to stop just for a moment and just say good morning and allow you guys to say good morning to the people. It's Torah today. It's about Torah today. It's the Sabbath. And so we're excited to be here and to share this time together with one another and with the sons of Yah from all over the world. We are excited. Good morning to y'all.
Good morning.
Hey, Elder, how are you this morning?
Great, thanks, and you?
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm excited about the word. I'm excited about the word this morning. I believe it's going to get us straight. If there's any slack in our back, we're going to be straightened right on out. The word is going to renew us today. The word is going to renew us today. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you this morning that your word brings life. It's the power of your word in us that is keeping us alive. Even the word that you've spoken over us before we were even formed, before we were completed in the womb of our parents. For some things that you spoke over us, and we thank you for the purposes and for the power that's in us, work in us for you to exceed and do abundance and all these things that you have decided that you want to do concerning us. Your thoughts towards us are good. There's no ill thought towards us. There's no ill speaking of us. There's everything about how you feel about us and what you know about us and what you are decided about us is of good. It's not of evil. And so we thank you today for the deliverance that's going to come of your word, for the light that's going to come of your word, for the light that's going to come of your word. There'll be no stumbling in the sun because your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're not stumbling around in the darkness because you are causing us to understand the things that you're showing us. You are revealing yourself to us. And as you are revealing yourself to us, we are becoming more like you. This is the purpose of who we are in the earth, to be the fulfillment of who you are in the heavens, in the earth, that the heavens might be a mirror image, might become the mirror image for us in the earth, that we might allow your kingdom to come and your will to be done. And it's not going to happen because you're just doing things. It's going to happen because you've already done a thing and we're realizing it to follow that pattern. We're realizing it, or we're seeing it, to do the thing that we see. We're realizing it to say what you've already said. The declaration in the earth of sons is the decree of Yah in the heavens. It's your decree from your throne, and that's what we want to do. We want to please you and you alone in this time, in this hour of our life that you have called us. You could have called us in any time, in any hour, in any era, but it was right now at the end of the age that you called these sons. Those that are to do even greater works in the earth. You called us for this time and for this purpose. And for this, we praise you. We glorify you and we honor you. Father, as we open up the word today, as we begin to read the portion for today, Vayetkanan, Father, you pleaded. And as you pleaded, Father, we want to hear the plea of heaven concerning our lives, concerning the lives of our children, what your cry is, what your plea is, for us, for our position, for our posture. We want to be straightened out. If there's any curve, if there's any slack in our back, we know that poor posture creates a whole lot of other dynamics. And so we don't want to be poor in our spiritual posture either. We want to have straight backs. Yeah, we want to have straight backs, and we want to move in a way that is indicative of how you have formed us and shaped us. We want to move in a way that's indicative of your grace, your glory, that tells your story in this hour. We love you and we thank you. There's nothing that we can do without you. You're the very air that we breathe, Father. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we are nothing. With you, we can do all things. There's a strength that comes from identifying the Mashiach. There's a strength that comes from identifying him and identifying with him and following the pattern that you've set for us. That is our strength in this season. Father, may we see him even in Torah today. That plan that you had and that direction that you were going to give us through the Son, may we see it written here this morning, because we know that Torah was simply the picture of what was to come. It was what was to come. It was what we should know and what we should behold to. Let us see it today like we've never seen it before. Let us hear it like we've never heard it before. Let us know it like we've never known it. Hallelujah. And let us declare it like we've never declared it, that the ears that hear would hear, that the eyes that see would see, and that the hearts that would be able to perceive would be able to perceive it, that it might harvest mightily in their lives over and over again. Just perpetual life-giving words today. And we thank you for it, and we call it done. Good morning. I see people still coming on. Good morning. Good morning. I see some unfamiliar numbers, but I'm glad you're here with us. Thank you for being here with us. Understand your lines are unmuted on my end. So make sure they're muted on your end. And I want to jump into this today. Hallelujah. We're the second born heirs of God. the joint heir to the inheritance of the kingdom that has no ending. Can you wrap your head around that? We are joint heirs to a kingdom that has no ending, and Torah is the foundational and integral piece of that place that we've been called to. It's the cultural tool. It's the tool that gives us the culture of our king. Gives us the culture of our king. Yeah. These are the tools that we need to be able to survive. I often tell people that my victory, just from the place that I'm in now, this victory that I'm walking in now, this came from me adhering to what the Father was speaking to me. I wasn't raised in a place. I was raised in a place of the Word. Now, don't get me wrong. And a lot of the teachers that I sat under from childhood on were Word people. You know, the Word was very important. The study of the Word was important. Being a student of the Word was important. However, it wasn't until I became an adult and I identified with the fact that the Father has established a certain way, a certain culture of things. And when I begin to identify with that culture, namely being that of understanding the Sabbath and the need for me to be a part of that rest in him, also beginning to identify his moeds, his moedim, those appointed times of Yah that happened throughout the year. When I came into that dynamic, it was like my whole life shifted. My whole life shifted. You know, the Bible talks about when we're children, we speak as children, we do as children, we behave as children. But when we become adults, we put away the childish things. Now, there is a process that happens. You know, in that process of time, there were tutors and governors. There was a way that I was trained, a way that I was raised. But as an adult, there were some things that became clearer to me. So I wasn't taught these things from my youth, but in my adulthood, just all of that stuff accumulating and coming together, the need to study the Word, the desire to be a student of the Word, all of that is what brought me to that place. So I don't despise the beginnings that I come from, but I am excited about where I am today, because it's the thing that has opened up my heart and opened up my mind to be able to receive the instruction and the direction. See, it's one thing to be taught the Word or to be given a tool for memorizing and all of that stuff. That's all well and good. But when you come into a place where it's not just about the memorization, but it's about the Word that's hidden in you. It's about the Word that you are able to image, you know, not just remember verse by verse or word by word, but the thing that's planted in you that comes out of you at the right times, at the appropriate times when you're going through, when you're being met with opposition or these different things. That's the Word that comes alive in you, not because you remembered the verse, but because you remembered the principle, because you remembered and understood what the principle was, and it was practically revealed so that you could actualize it in a real world. You know, I love Torah. I love it because every time I read any chapter or verse in the Torah portion, it just so sets me in line. You know, it's a keeping us in line mechanism. That's what the Word is for. It's to keep us in line and keep us in alignment with what the Father is saying and doing. And I'm just, man, we facilitate his will by walking in his Word, you know, by walking in his Word. And the only way you're going to walk in the Word is if you read the Word to know how to walk. You know, I was thinking about this the other day and it came back up and it was just such a powerful remembrance. I used to do some driving, you know, for a living. And when I was in a situation this particular time, I felt like I had gotten lost. And so I said, I was trying to get to my GPS. So I was thinking I'm going to pull over, but I was pulling up my phone to get to my GPS. And the purpose of me getting to the GPS was to make sure that it was working, try to reroute myself, see what was going on. And the Father said, you don't need the GPS. He said, just put it down and look up at the signs. He said, if you're not lost, just follow signs. And to me, that didn't make any sense, because if I'm in a place where I've never been before, these signs really shouldn't mean anything to me, right? But it's those simple things. It's those It's the simple thing of obedience. Like, things don't always make sense, but to your natural mind. But if you understand how obedience works, then it doesn't even matter. Sure, I'm in a place I've never been before, so I live here, so the signs naturally wouldn't make sense to me. But if I just follow his direction, I'll realize that I'm not lost, that wherever I am, he is, and he knows how to get me where I'm going, right? So I put the GPS down, I put the phone down, and I begin to look at the signs. Now, as I'm looking at the signs, he begins to direct me. And it's just, I could not have been directed trying to rely on the GPS. I could not have been directed trying to do it the way that I was doing it, because if the GPS loses signal or anything like that, I would simply have to pull over and ask somebody. So why not just depend on him? He said, you're not lost. Just follow the signs. And when I looked up, when I got past myself, I mean, it didn't take but a couple of seconds, but you know how in that split second you're like, look at the signs. I don't even live here. He said, just follow direction, you know, and for me, this is what Torah is. This is the purpose of Torah. It's the instructions that are given to every son to establish the culture of a king. And if we would just follow the direction, follow the sign, follow what's been provided for us, then we'll see success. This is what he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He said, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. In other words, this is something you ought to not only meditate on, but it ought to be not only your meditation, but it ought to be your conversation, okay? Day and night, this ought to be your meditation, day and night. And when it's your meditation, it becomes your conversation. He said, and in so doing this, you're going to not only accomplish the things that I told you to accomplish, but you're going to accomplish them successfully. You're going to have good success. You're going to be prosperous and have good success. I'm going to open up the line for a moment and just let you guys share while I'm pulling up the verse for passages for today so that we can read them. Matter of fact, we play it like a benjamin, because you know how I get. If I start reading it, I'm going to have an inclination to stop and to have conversations. So we're going to have conversations on the other end. We're going to do it like we've been doing it. I'm going to allow it to be read, and then after it's read, then I'm going to open up the lines. We'll have some table talk around it, and I'll give you some of the points that he gave me. But you're going to need to take notes. You're going to need to take notes. To take notes, you'll be ready when it's time to have a conversation. You guys there with me this morning? Hallelujah. Are you guys there?
We're here.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to let it play. And then you guys will take notes and we'll come back and have some conversations around what has been spoken, what we've received, what we've heard. You guys just let me know that you can hear it, which you should be able to, because I did this last week, so it should work just fine.
Your great and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours?
Can you hear it?
Go over and see the good land beyond Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me.
Yes.
And the Lord said to me, enough. Don't speak to me of this matter again. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and look at it with your eyes. For you shall not go over this Jordan, but charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him. For he shall go over at the head of this people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you shall see. So we remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? What great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice, and he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. The Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he swore that I should not cross the Jordan, and that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. For I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan. But you shall go over and take possession of that good land. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. The Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And you father children and children's children and have grown old in the land. If you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything, and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands, that neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. The Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. Or ask now of the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Did any people ever hear the voice of a God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and still live? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice that he might discipline you. And on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. Because he loved your fathers and chose their offspring after them, and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence, by his great power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore today, and lay it to your heart, that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. And Moses set apart 3 cities in the east beyond the Jordan, that the manslayer might flee there, anyone who kills his neighbor unintentionally without being at enmity with him in time past. He may flee to one of these cities and save his life. These are in the wilderness on the tableland for the Reubenites, Ramoth and Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan and Bashan for the Manassites. This is the law that Moses set before the people of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the rules which Moses spoke to the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt, beyond the Jordan, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon, whom Moses and the people of Israel defeated when they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land and the land of Og, the king of Bashan, the 2 kings of the Amorites who lived to the east beyond the Jordan, from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, as far as Mount Sirion, that is Hermon, together with all the Arabah on the east side of the Jordan, as far as the Sea of the Arabah, under the slopes of Pisgah. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone and gave them to me. And as soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still live. Now, therefore, why should we die? for this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have, and has still lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. The Lord heard your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But you stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I am giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you, and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them, and show no mercy to them. You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons, or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn their sons from following me to serve God. Then the anger of the Lord be kindled again. would destroy quickly, but thus shall you deal with them. You shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and chop down Asherim and burn their carved images with fire, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandments and the statutes, the rules, the commandments.
I hope you guys were taking notes. There's a lot of good meat in there for us for this season, a lot of good things for us to remember as he was speaking to them. Again, these things are written for our learning. We are not necessarily going through a literal desert. You know, it's figurative for us, yet it is. We have been in desert places. I mean, we've been in our wilderness places. We've been on a journey. And the whole point is that we identify with the movement that he's done here with his children, that we might identify the way that he desires to take us, and that we'll understand that he knows the way that we take. He understands the way that we should go, the way that he needs to take us for us to even identify and understand all that's been done. It's been all about him showing us his hand, you know. And there's something that I jotted down. I think I'll get to that shortly here. But this journey has all been about this partnership and where all of the issue is coming from is the fact that he's already engaged in his part of the partnership, but we're trying to catch up, you know. And as we're trying to catch up, sometimes we're missing a lot of things, or we're learning. We're getting our footing. We're getting the strength in our legs so that we can do this walk. He's already where we're going. He's already there. The thing is already done. We're not looking for something to be done. It's already done. We're waiting to walk into it. We are. We have an expectation to arrive at this place that he's calling us to, but it starts in our mind first, how we're seeing the thing. So this is why he's given the commands. This is why he's given the regulations and the rules and the statutes and the disciplines for us to walk by. So these are the boundaries for our blessings. This is the beginning of the boundaries for our blessings. Yes, when we get to the promise, that also has boundaries. It's the blessing, but it has boundaries. But the beginning of boundaries for the blessings start with how we see things and how we function and all of that. So I'm going to open up the line real quick and let you guys share. I've got some notes here as well. The first thing that mine starts with is the recognition that based on how we deal with to as leaders, we can position ourselves either to go in or to be refused entry and to train other people to go in or to charge other people to take a people in. I want to be a leader that goes in to the promised place. I'm going to be a leader that goes into the promised place. I've told you guys this before. I'm never desiring to get to a place where I'm so frustrated with the people that I speak out of turn or function out of turn. You know, I'm unlike Moshe. If he say move and let me kill him, I'm moving. I'm not going to be like, no, let me fall on my face and save everybody, because the thing that you got to understand is the Father knows what we need and who we need to get where we're going. And we were talking about this yesterday, and I believe we've been, you know, kind of hitting on it for a little while. The thing about things is this, that the Father could just do it all if he wanted to, but that's not his desire. That's not how he set things up. So on this journey, it's not that he doesn't know what's going to take place, but he has to allow it to take place. Are you understanding? It has to be allowed because he's given mankind dominion over the earth. He's given mankind to manage the earth. So if it's being mismanaged, it's because mankind is not doing his job. It's because the sons are not doing what they should be doing. If it's being mismanaged, it's because somebody who is bearing his image is not imaging him properly in the earth. And so we see this when it comes to the powers that think they be in earth, these wicked men who are men. They are made in his likeness and image. There's no doubt about that. This is why they're able to do all that they're able to do, even though they're doing it by another spirit. They're functioning outside of the authority that was given them. They're doing it for their own purposes. They're doing it for self-gratification, for self-fulfillment, and all of these other things. They're doing it because they're serving another father. But this goes all the way back to the garden. They're functioning under the first Adam's rule. They're functioning under the first Adam's manner. When the second Adam has already come, and this is why identifying with the second Adam, who is the Mashiach, is the ticket for us to get back to the Father, to get back to that garden place, and to do what we were supposed to be doing from the beginning. This is what the Master did by coming into the earth, the Father releasing all of his glory into him so that he could be the spitting image of who he was in the heavens, in the earth, to begin to do the culture of the king and the earth so that men would see that and follow that pattern. This is the way to actualize the kingdom. How the Master did it is the way to actualize the kingdom. So it came to me, you know, about that whole Moshe not going in. After he had done all of these things, after he had walked all this stuff out, he winds up not going in because in a moment, he is dishonorable. And it kind of goes to one of the other reasons, and this is coming up now, that this was such a harsh judgment that had to be given to Moshe, was because he was the one that bore what was written in stone. And what was written in stone, you know how people say it's written in stone? That means it's solid. That means, listen, there's no going back from it. He actually carried it, penned by the hand of Yah originally, but then he had to pen it. He had to do it the second time because he broke the first ones, right? So not only did he hear it and see it at the hand of the Father, but he had to go back and hear it again and write it out or establish it again by his own hand and hew his own rock and all of that. So this was something that should have been working in him because of how he had to go about it. It was the very, let me see, which command was it? It was the command that says, you not to the name of God, your God, is vain. And a lot of people think that means something else, but it doesn't mean what they think it means. It doesn't mean when people say put God in front of another word, that's not taking the name of God in vain. What it means to take his name in vain, it means to have his identity on you and to misrepresent it, to mishandle that, to make his identity be viewed as something other than what is on you. So I can give you, and I've done this before, give you the example of a husband and a wife. Well, a husband's name is transferred to the woman when she comes into covenant with him. Well, if she goes off and gallivants herself around the country and around the world, doing whatever she wants to do with whomever she wants to do, she's taken his name in vain. She's made his name on her invalid, empty, and not performing. If that makes sense. So that was one of the first things that came up for me was that thing about Moshe not being able to go in. But I love how the Father, this was what Moshe was pleading about, and this is the title of the parashat this week. He pleaded. It was about Moses' plea, not only to the Father, but to the people. He pleaded not just with the Father, but with the people. But I love it because I've literally heard and been in those conversations with the Father where he was like, I don't want to talk about that no more. And this is what he did with Moshe. Moshe was like, you know, why don't let me go on over and tell, you know, I know it's a good land. And he was describing the land and talking like the Father talked about the land, like the people that came back and disputed that the land was a good land. He said, you know what? You got that right. I need you to go to the top of this mountain. I'm going to let your eyes see it again. Go ahead from the east to the west, all that. But you're not going in. We're done with this conversation. We're done with this conversation. And so that was one of the first things that came up for me. What happens when the Father says, we're done? We're done having a conversation. I'm going to open up the line. You guys go ahead and share. What were some of the things that stood out to you? I'm going to definitely continue to share the things that stood out to me, but I'd love to hear at least one of the things that stood out. The line is open.
The part that stood out for me is the no other gods, no images.
Okay, okay. Well, what were your thoughts around that?
That, you know, how specific he was about the don't do the graven images. He went to talk about a bird, a fish, of nothing. Basically, like no other gods.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make no images. And then it went on to talk about that your days, keeping of the commandments for long life, long days.
Yes.
And he went into explaining what that is and what that means.
Yes.
And it almost sounded like the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, well, it was just a reiteration of it.
Right.
You know, it was a reiteration of it. Just in simple terms, he said, okay, here are the commandments. Now, in simple terms, this is what this is. It was just a reiteration. But so our life and the extension of our life, and when we talk about life, we're not talking about just being alive. We're talking about quality of life. Our quality of life and the extension of our life is directly connected to our ability to follow instructions. Correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. The ability. But see, here's the thing. We're going to be following instructions as long as we're alive, or directions as long as we're alive. It's so funny to me that people get in this mindset of well, you know, the Bible is this, and, you know, men wrote that. And no, people translated it, and I know what the with the surety that the Father had enough sense to know that there were going to be translations, and in translations there was going to be a little bit of contamination or some changing of things to put things in a position of favoring the people that translated it. However, he had enough wisdom to know that sons would be able to hear regardless of the bents of men. And so the foundational truth, like I was sharing that particular verse that, you know, it comes across, or, you know, we've all been raised by that engine that said that not taking the name of the Lord in vain was the thing that I shared, right? Didn't you get taught that same thing? Anybody on the line get taught the same thing I got taught, that, you know?
Yeah,
similar.
Yeah, and even if it was saying, oh, my God, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. You know, all of these little things. And those were all a part of that same engine, but that was not the facts, right? So he's saying to know my word, to know what I'm saying, to understand what I'm relaying to you is the extension and the longevity and the well-being of your life. It would seem to me that we would apply ourselves to the knowledge of the word. It would seem to me that we would apply ourselves to the knowledge of who he is, to who the Son is, to who the Holy Spirit is, to even who our adversary is, because there is a place where we have to identify and know the devices of the enemy. Because how are you going to live in a place where you're constantly being objected if you don't understand the objections? And if you don't understand what the objections are about, then you may take it a different way and think that because you're constantly being objected, then that means you're less of something, or even see the God that you serve as smaller because of the objections, not understanding that the objections even have purpose in your life to bring you to a greater place. These are all a part of lessons. These are all a part of direction and instruction. And if we follow the core, that thing that's written in stone, then even as we're going through our processes, we'll arrive at our destination. I'm going to leave the line open and let you guys share, because that was the second thing for me, was listen to what I'm telling you that you may live. He said, don't add to it, don't take away. You know, how many times have we heard the Father say something and we wanted to minimize it or add something to it? We wanted more. You know, we talk about daily bread all the time. A lot of times people want more. They don't feel like what the Father said was enough. Well, if he give me some more, then I'll move. No, you need to move on the word that he gave you. You need to do the thing that he told you. And if you do the thing that he told you, then he'll give you more. That's how that works. If you be faithful over a few things, that means I'm going to share a few things with you. Go ahead and show your faithfulness in that few, and then I'm going to give you many more things. You know, it was indicative of the master to say, I have some things I want to say to you, but you're not ready. Paul said the same thing. I got stuff I want to share with you, but you're not mature enough. So that says to me that the conversation gets more and more mature. The conversation becomes greater as I'm able to grasp the thing that's being given. You know, we always want more. He said, don't add to it, don't take away from it. And then not only do we always want more, but we always want to take something out of it because we want to make it comfortable. So either way, he's saying, I'm going to tell you how you're going to live. And if you follow what I'm telling you as far as how you're going to live and you don't add to it and you don't take away from it, it's going to extend you. It's going to cause you to come into longevity and the fruit of life, you know, just the benefits of life. I'm opening up the lines today. It's still open. Share what you heard. Share what you're hearing about that. I'm going to keep going. He said that, you know, you've got to recall some things. What I did regarding the things that happened in the wilderness. There were some specific things that happened in the wilderness, particularly Peor. What happened at Peor? You know, he says, but those of you that have held fast are alive. Now, he's talking to the kids now because the adults are gone. They're dead. But he's saying there are some people that have held fast. You got Joshua, you got Caleb, you got Moshe. You got people that didn't involve themselves in certain things. And because they chose to hold fast, to be secured to what's your go-to? You know, that's the thing. What is your go-to? Because they made their go-to the Father instead of what other people were doing at the time. It could have been a thing that could have taken over the whole nation, but there were people that remembered, they recalled what the Father had done. They recalled what he did. They remembered some of the way that he had taken them, and they knew, you know, a little bit about who he was. So he said to those of you who have held fast, you're alive. It's about the holding fast. I know that it looks like this. I know that you may feel like this, but there has to be an establishment of a word, and that's the way that we live. We live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. So if I'm living by the word that proceeds out of his mouth, it doesn't matter what it looks like to me. It doesn't matter even what my experience is right now, because if he spoke something and it's opposite of my experience, then my expectation is that I'm going to come into the thing that he spoke. That's going to become my life. That's going to become my experience. I have an expectation and I'm anticipating the moment that that thing shifts for me because this is what he said. So as I'm holding to that, then I am positioning myself to be able to receive or to have the capacity for the reception or the receiving of this thing that he's speaking. Oftentimes people quit before they get to that place. They're right at the breakthrough. They're right on the verge. You ever been in this position where the Father came through for you and you begin to rest in that fact that he came through for you, but then you got stuck because it was almost like this is the thing he was talking to me about yesterday, and I think it's going to bless you because it really blessed me. It's like when the Father does a thing, you're like, okay, now I got to wait for the next thing he's going to do. No, he already did the next thing he's going to do. What you are needing to do is to come into alignment or to make sure that you stay in the position so that you can walk out the thing that he's already done. But if you think that it's a moment-by-moment thing, if you think it's a minute-by-minute, it's a instance-by-instance, it actually is the whole situation is already done. But you're thinking everything is separated. You're thinking every time. Instead of every time separately, you're thinking of it as one word, every time that he does this. You know, I'm waiting for the every time instead of every time. It's already done. It's not a thing that we're looking for being done. It's already done. So he's doing this every time because it's already done. It's the conclusion for him, in other words. it's a conclusion for him. Sometimes it's a suggestion. We think for us, we're thinking of it as a suggestion when we think of it that way, but it's a conclusion for him of a matter. So he's saying to them, your wisdom and understanding is going to come from the rules and the regulations, these things that I've given you, these protections that I've given you. This is going to be how people see you as wise, because you're following these laws and these statutes. I've given them to you so that you can produce something on my behalf in the earth. This is what's going to cause a production in you that's going to be visible by other nations. Then he goes into this conversation about what other nation. You know, when you think about your life and you think about where you were, you know that the gods that we served in other seasons, because, you know, whether we would like to believe that or not, we were serving other gods. To whom we give our attention to, is that what we're serving? You know, and that was in our ignorance and us not being enlightened in those areas that we were giving service to other gods. But even when in that place, when did those gods ever put you in a position where they were trying to set you up for betterment? No, whatever we were serving, unbeknownst to us, it was looking for our destruction, not for our furtherance. He's saying, what other nation is like you, Israel? What other nation had a God that spoke to them from out of the fire? You know, I made myself known to you. I made who I was and what I desired known unto you at Mount Horeb or Sinai. I made that known unto you. You heard the sound of words and saw it and saw no form, but you heard. And that's the thing that often catches us up, because we're hearing things, but we don't see the form of the thing that we heard, not understanding that it's about the partnership, like I was saying at the beginning. Yeah, you're hearing the thing so that you can declare the thing, and not only declare the thing, but the manifestation of the thing is not going to just come from what you say, but from how you're functioning regarding what you said. Because if I believe what I say, then I'm going to start doing what I said. And when I start doing what I said, then the manifestation of what was said is going to come to pass. That which is written in stone is solid. This is why he was writing it. He said, listen, and we talked about this before, that the reason why to have a vision or the reason why to write things down is so that when you get in a place where there might be a little bit of disruption or distraction, you can look at what's written. I went to the store yesterday, and it was something that I didn't put on my list that I needed to get. When I left there, I realized I had left it because I was distracted. I was looking for some things that I believe I can only get online. And so in looking for that thing, I didn't write down on the list this thing, but I didn't recall it either because I was distracted by looking for some other things. But if I had it written, then I could refer to what was written, because what's written is in stone. It's solid. It's solid. The writing is solid. So he often was reminding them to beware, to watch themselves, you know, not to lend themselves to idolatry, which is what Prophet Isvantina was talking about. And when we're talking about idolatry, we're talking about a great many things. He's talking about the birds, you know, not creating these images. But when he's talking about imaging, you know, this goes back to the thing that we were talking about the other day about us being his imagers, you know, those that he's given his image and his likeness to. He's saying, don't compromise my image by worshiping other images, because what you're worshiping is what you're becoming. You're becoming like the things that you worship. So they don't have a voice. They don't have, you know, the ability to do the things that I do. And when you are worshiping those things and lending yourself to those things, you're empowering them by my image to give them a voice. How do we give voice to a thing that has no voice? This is what the pagan nations around them did. There were not just giants in the land of Canaan, by the way. You know, there were not just giants. We often see it as that, but the Amorites were not giants, as in coming from the, or descending from the Nephilim. They were out of Ham's lineage. They were out of Noah's lineage. But it was who they had become that made them such a terrible people. This is why they were able to live in the land, because of their terribleness because of who they were. They could live amongst the giants. They could live there. You know? He said, don't lend yourselves to idolatry, because it was the way of the people that lived in the land before you. Remember, I brought you out of Egypt. I love that he keeps reiterating that throughout this thing, because if we would just remember where we already came from, oftentimes we won't have a problem with where he's taking us. If we could just remember where we came from, we often won't have a problem. We can release that issue that we're having, that, you know, that apprehension that we're having, the fear of whatever thing is that we're not. Because sometimes that fear is an unknown. But we don't have to fear the unknown. We didn't know before. And he still brought us out. He was reminded not to follow the pagan practices. This is what this whole thing, Moshe is pleading with the people. He began pleading with the Father. But now he says, you know what, I need to plead with them. Because understand, there were people that were before you. He goes into that conversation about the visitation of the Father's issue on the generation. Like, you're going to be visited. It's some visitation is going to come to you. But if you remember what's written, you'll be okay. I mean, the master endured visitation because of what the first Adam did. There was a visitation. There were some things that were speaking to his heart and to his mind. But he stayed true to what was written. So I said, I brought you out of Egypt. Don't follow the practices of paganism that were followed in this land. You know, this for me discusses the objection of darkness. There's always going to be an objection. You got to think about this. In a perfect garden that the Father created for his Son to rule and to reign from, there was still an objection of darkness. Just because they're coming into a promised land, I think that oftentimes we think that promise means no objection. That ain't what that means. Promise just means this is the environment that I'm going to bring you into, but you still going to have to manage the environment. Because the serpent is still subject to try to speak to you in your element. You know, yeah, it's a good land. My eyes are on the land. You ain't got to worry about certain things like for Adam. And it's the same thing for them. But for Adam, he was like, you know, the water came up from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. He didn't have to have a water hose. He didn't have to create an irrigation system. He didn't have to do any of that. And the same thing he said to them about this land. This land is a good land. My eyes are on the land to watch it, to watch over it. I provide the rain for it. Like, you don't have to create anything that's going to protect how the land grows, because I'm going to do that myself. But that doesn't mean that there will not be things to manage. And this is life. There are always going to be things that are going to come as objections to us. But how we deal with the objection in the environment that's been given us is everything. What has the Father said about this objection? What is his word concerning my life? What is his word concerning where I'm going? What is all of this about? And if I identify what this objection is about, then I can position myself properly. He said, you're going to live long in the promise if you don't follow the foolishness. If you don't follow the foolishness that was here before you, if you don't, you know, it takes me back to the principality piece. There are still things around here that could influence. There are still things. I woke up this morning and this song was in my head, and it was just the chorus. It was just a phrase. And I feel like I have heard this song before, but I was a kid. And it was like the sky was it? Oh God. Hold on. I gotta pull it back up. I'm opening the blind for a minute so I can pull this back up, because I thought I wrote it down. I might have, but I don't see it at the top. I don't see it at the top of things. So let me look. I'm opening up the line again. Somebody jump in. I need to find this phrase real quick. I'm gonna find this thing. It was a lyric. It had something to do with the sky. Oh Lord, where is it? It has something to do with the sky and there being danger. Oh, I have to find this thing, because I believe this was a word for us this morning. Let me see. Ah, the sky is dangerous was the phrase. The sky is dangerous. I don't remember everything that I was dreaming, but I've been having
these prophetic dreams, I believe, that are things to come. The sky is dangerous. Well, I mean, that's not a mystery to us because the sky has already, the wickedness has already been using the sky. But when I was thinking about it, just then I was thinking about it in connection to what the Father was speaking about them not behaving, not functioning in the way that those before them that function, and the piece about the ejection, that we have to still manage good land. We still have to manage the environment in the good land. And so when I was thinking about that or speaking that, that song came back up, The Sky is Dangerous, because the principality is a ruler that is a influencer, and that influence is a thing that is airborne, you know, like just like words are spoken and, you know, they're passed down, or you hear by word of mouth. It's an influence that could take place. So we have to be mindful of the influences that could take place even in the good place, even in the good land, you know. He said you'll live long in the promise if you don't follow these influences, the influence of the serpent, the influence that comes of those that were in the land before you, you know. Then I love this part that he said, because you may mess up, but if you misstep, if you mess up and you wind up being scattered, because you're not going to live long in a land that I give you if you don't manage it properly. Right? But even if you're scattered, if you seek him with all your heart and soul, you're going to find him. I love that part about him. He's such a redeemer. He's such a redeemer. He doesn't forget covenant. He's always looking to engage in a relationship. He doesn't forget. He's like, no, I made a promise. And because I made a promise, he used to say this to me as a kid all the way into my adulthood, a promise is a promise. You know, when he makes a promise, he means the promise. The thing is, can we adhere? Can we manage? Can we remain in covenant with this promise? You know, will we do what it takes to understand the danger of the sky, understand the danger of what's going on in the airwaves, and to position ourselves or to align ourselves, that holding fast comes back to remembrance. Will we hold fast, you know, even in that time, like the master did when he was in that wilderness place? He doesn't forget. The Father doesn't forget his covenant, and he's always looking to engage. It's on us. The ball is in our court, you know. What he did in Egypt, I love this part that came up, because it went back to that self-control versus discipline piece that he was talking about. He said, there were some things that I did in Egypt, things that I did in Egypt to prove myself and to discipline a people. Not so that you could learn how to control yourself, not self-control measures, but this is discipline. In other words, discipline doesn't mean a beating. I know it can be synonymous with that, with the correction, but it's not just correction from a position of lashing, but discipline is setting the parameters for something. You know, I gave you parameters. I proved myself, and the proof of who I am should give you the parameters or the discipline, the boundaries that you need to be able to see me a certain way and to function a certain way. You know, because the truth of the matter is, until we see him as he is, the only option we'll consider is whatever else we see. And that'll come to our end. That we'll do that to our end. You know, it's like when he speaks a word and we don't see it and we say, I don't see that. It's not because he's not showing it. It's just when he's showing it, you're not applying yourself to what he's showing you, because maybe you don't feel like you want to do what it takes to become that. Or maybe you don't feel like, you know, but that goes back to that thing where Moses is able to look over into the land. So it'll be a lot of people, and have been a lot of people, that were able to look over into the land. That doesn't mean they go to the lake of fire at the end of the day. These are people that have held to what the Father has said. They've been faithful in some things. But now when it comes down to the wire, in that moment, they miss it because they're not holding fast. They allow the objection of the environment to get to them.
You know, they allow whatever it is going on in their hearts or their minds about how they see him and how they see themselves to stand in the way of them walking into this promised place. Because when you think about the Hebrew children, you got to identify with this fact that clearly they saw themselves as something other than who the Father saw them as. The Father created them to be a mighty nation. He saw them as might. He saw them as his strength. But they saw themselves as grasshoppers. So we see that the Father can see you as what you are, but that's not enough for you to get to the promise. What's going to get you to the promise is seeing the way he sees to get there. It's got to be you seeing the way that he sees. If you miss it, he's going to keep his word. I love that about him. He's like, no, the promise, you know, your forefathers did something. Your fathers did some things. They function in a way, but I made a promise to your fathers. And he wasn't just talking about to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. At this point, he's talking to these that are grown-ups now that were children then. He's saying, I made a promise to your fathers to give them a land. And so I'm giving it to you because this is my fulfillment of the promise. But I love the spirit of Joshua and Caleb because they were there from the beginning. And they were not going to miss this promise. From, although the majority of that nation, that generation of that nation died, they survived all that was done to that nation because they held fast. It was done right in the midst of them. And this is indicative of where we are right now and where, you know, in my dreams where I was. It was indicative of these things happening around me, but it couldn't come nigh me. Right in that nation, people were dropping dead. Right in that nation, people were receiving of plagues and different things that were released just as a result of the fierce indignation of Yah moving his hand and allowing them to experience the things that he had protected them from because they complained and because they said, you brought us out here to kill us. So the word that they spoke was what they received. Now we're in this era of the opening, and the Father keeps saying, you have what you say. You know, you'll have what you say, because what you say is what you believe. It's not just the words that you're speaking, but you're going to follow a specific pattern, a specific line. You're going to function on a specific line based on what's coming out of your mouth. If you don't believe you can be healed, you won't be. You can say it with your mouth, but if your belief is not lining up with it, you know, Prophetess Posey spoke of spontaneous healing, and she back the other day. There's a responsibility on the part of some. Sure, it could happen like that, but it's according to how you believe. It's according to what you believe. You could say that it happened, this happened in my family line, this happened in my generations. Well, you know what? A lot of people were healthier in my generation, but I chose a different way. I chose to go a different way. I don't even see that as an effect to me unless I'm outside of what I was called to do. Now, when he called me to something specific, he was navigating me around what happens in the family line. He was navigating me around that. But if I just hold to whatever they did and don't hear what he's saying to me to adhere to what he's saying, then sure, I'm going to follow the same pattern that everybody else followed. But that's an easy excuse to make. This was that, and this is what my parents had, and this is what, they don't got nothing to do with us. We're of another culture now. We're of another DNA. He said that, listen, there was a sacrifice that was made to bring you into the fellowship, to bring you into the family. And if you're in the family, that means you have the same rights and privileges, the same inheritance. Your insurance, so to speak, covers all of that. Your insurance is your assurance that you don't have those issues and you don't have to pay for something that's already been paid for. Okay? So these are some of the things that stood out to me. I've got plenty more. I jump in whenever you get ready. If you don't, I keep going. You're not going to go long in the promise if you don't follow. And that's just how it works. That's the pattern that I'm given. He said, these are the parameters. This is the blessing. But these are the parameters for the blessing. Follow these parameters. Follow this way of doing things, and you will reap these benefits. It's the same thing for a job. You know, you got to be on a job for 90 days, sometimes 120 days, to get to the benefits.
You know, that means it's something that you're doing consistently. And here's the thing. If you get on the job, you get the benefits, and you decide you don't want to do the job, then guess what? You're fired and you don't get the benefits. It just, everything in life works this way. It's a system, you know, and we have to identify that system and stand in that. This phrase that he has with them right before chapter 5, I believe it is. I'm going to see if I can pull it up. He said, "We're afraid because of the fire I was doing in your midst there. You heard some things, you saw some things, but because of the fire," when I think of fire, I think of trial. I think of a purging. And what the Father's desire with the fire was to purge the old identity, was to deal with how they saw things, you know, was to deal with the negative connotation of things. But they couldn't get past the fire. They couldn't get past the fire. Now, when I even talk about that, I'm thinking about the three Hebrew boys who did not care. They were like, okay, here's the thing. We're not going to bow. And if you feel like you need to go ahead and follow through with what you're following through with, this fire situation, this furnace thing, then go ahead and throw us in there. Because here's the thing. We're not going to bow, okay? And secondly, the God that we serve will be with us. And if he so desires to kill us by fire, that was his vision. Maybe he had something bigger in mind. That's how we're functioning right now. Whether or not we die by this fire or live in it, we're not bound. They weren't afraid of fire. That fire was simply an opportunity for him to prove himself. You know, and remember what I told you about proof. Proof brings correction. And this proof, the proof of that fire with the Hebrew boys, brought correction to a nation. It brought correction to a wicked king. It brought correction to their identity. It brought correction to how they served and who they served. Okay? But Israel, when they get to fire, oh, you know, they have an issue. They're like, oh, we're afraid of that. You know, he's talking to us from this place. And they acknowledge that it's him speaking, but even in acknowledging that it's him speaking, it's the fire that's connected to him speaking that causes them a fear. It's a note that I took, and I'm going to get to that note in a minute, but I'm trying to get to the fire. There we go. I believe it's chapter 5. Well, it is in chapter 5, I guess. I thought it was right before it, but I guess I jotted it down. And right in the midst of that, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, "And Moshe summoned all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. Yah, your God, made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did Yah make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. Yah spake with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain," he said. Now, when I look at this, it kind of takes me back to the garden place, because we often are, we deal with, let me see if I can, help me, Holy Spirit, to explain what I'm trying to say or what's in my head. We deal with the thing, but we don't deal with the God of the thing. We deal with the thing, but we don't deal with the process or the words that process us through the thing. So here's the thing. With this knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Let's go back to the garden. There's a conversation that the Father has in an immaturity of a creation, cultivate it but don't eat it, right? It's the same thing here with the children of Israel. He said to them originally, he told Moshe, make sure they're not touching the bottom of the mountain. But here it says that the Father said, and you did not go up into the mountain. It says, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. It's like there's this separation or this delineation, this line of separating things. Like, I would offer you a space. I would offer you to come into my presence in a certain way if you could handle my voice just from this place. If you could handle it from here, then I would offer you to come closer or come nearer, right? It's the same thing with Adam and that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I think there's a line of separation because of immaturity. It's certain things I will not reveal to you, a certain way I'm going to deal with you. And he was talking to me about this yesterday and the day before yesterday, because I was looking at my email and I was noticing that some of the things that I'm functioning in right now have always been present. They've been present for a while. I think I started out with this. But only in the mature state can I even recognize that it's been present, because before now I didn't even see it there. And if I saw it there, I didn't see how I was supposed to benefit from it. It wasn't until I adhered to something that came in the email or I responded. But see, that took me coming into a place. And when I came into that place, then I was able to respond to the thing that I saw, because that response was directly out of the Father saying, I will provide. And then I saw all of a sudden what seemed to me to be the provision, which it was, right? But that provision was, it was following me. You know, the word says goodness and mercy shall follow you all day. Goodness and mercy been following me. It's the goodness of the Father for you to be well. It's the goodness of the Father for you to be wealthy. It's the goodness of the Father for you to progress. Goodness and mercy have always been following. Just have we seen it? Have we acknowledged the goodness and the mercy that's been following us? Other than just how we say, you know, the Father's good, he's good all the time, you know, all of these things that are just kind of coined or cliche-ish, they turn into cliches. But have we really acknowledged the goodness of the Father? Because if we really acknowledge his goodness, then we will continue to walk in that goodness, because we understand that it wasn't just a situation. His goodness is not situational. It's not just for that moment. He is good all of the time. In other words, it's his nature to be good to us. So if we just single things out as, oh, well, you know, that time when he did this, you know, he was good. And this time when he did this, he was good. No, he is consistently good. And it is his desire to consistently bless. It's his desire to consistently be good to us and to see us doing well. The situation is that we keep isolating these situations like they're isolated situations instead of a part of a whole, instead of being a part of a whole. So I believe that there's a delineation between the immaturity of ourselves and the maturity, because there are things that he's already done, things that he's been doing, things that have already been following us that we just didn't turn around and recognize. They were there all the time. They were already there. It blew my mind last night while I was looking up some stuff and kind of searching through my email, just because I'm trying to figure out how to create an environment or a situation where I need to see those into a specific place. I feel like I've been able to do that before. Like if I get emails from this, this, and this, it needs to go over here. So I'm trying to work that out. And I guess I'll finish working it out tomorrow, because I'm going to go ahead and enjoy the Sabbath today. But I need to work it out where those things that I need to see show up in a specific place so that I can just go right there and see what it is I need to see. Because these things have been following me since 2020. Things that I established in 2018. Following me, but I didn't see it because I hadn't reached the level of maturity to turn around and look at it and notice it and recognize it. This is the thing that he was dealing with them about. They recognize the goodness of Yah thus far. These are all of the things that he's done. Let me put you in remembrance. Let me help you recall. But the recall and the remembrance is not just for those situations, but for you to identify the person that he is. His personality, you know, his overall personality is this, it's not just situational. I'm going to open up the line and let somebody else say something real quick. If you have something to say, if you don't, I see that it's a quiet line today, so I'm going to keep on moving because I don't want blank space. So if you got something you want to share, just jump in. You know how to do, just jump in and know that you have something to share. Let's go to chapter 5 real quick. This thing about we shall die, and this happened every time the Father revealed himself to them, they would reject. And it started at the mountain, right? It started at the mountain. He revealed himself. They rejected him there. Now here we are at the promise. We're going to die. We can't go in there. You know, it's always we're going to die anytime he's revealing himself. And the thing that we should be standing in is the desire. We always talk about,
Father, more of you, less of me. Show me you. You know, we often throw out, you know, show me your glory, you know, even as Abraham did, right? Show me your glory. But here's the thing. When he shows it, can you handle it? When he shows himself, are you going to reject him or are you going to welcome that showing? Are you going to welcome that showing to come to the place of knowing who he is so that you can grow in that grace and grow in that knowledge? You know, every time he revealed himself, they rejected him. And now here's the remembrance of even at the place of promise, right when he's desirous to perform the thing for you, you're at that place of his performance. I need to correct it because we've been trained a certain way, we separate. No, it's right at the place of his performance. He already performed it. Right at the place of his performance, you miss the breakthrough because you don't follow through. I heard this so clearly in the spirit this morning as I was in prayer and as I was preparing my heart and my mind to come on. He was saying, tell the people, don't quit striking the wood. We talk about this all the time because I used to chop wood. And it's something about when you hit that wood, it's a stance that you have to take. It's a position that you have to hold and a way to hold this axe, right? If you don't hold it properly and you don't stand properly, you risk hurting yourself and not accomplishing the task. But if you learn how to stand and you learn the position and the posture that you need to be in, and when you wield that axe, when you bring it down, it's going to keep striking the same spot. Here's the thing about it striking the same spot. It's going to break. It's going to break. It's inevitably going to break. There's like no other option. And when I'm hitting that wood, when I would be hitting that wood, there was a resonant cognizance of the fact that this is going to break. I don't know if it's going to break on the first, the third, the fifth, the seventh, but guess what? Because I'm chopping wood and I need to establish this stash, right? Because I need to establish this, I'm going to keep striking it. If it takes 10 hits, I know it's going to break. That's the thing that you got to keep in your mind, that the breakthrough is coming regardless of whether it comes on the second, the third day, the seventh day, whatever day it comes on, this thing is breaking forth. It's going to break. You got to keep striking the wood. You don't strike the wood, see a little bit of gain and say, oh, he's good. You know, today he's good. And tomorrow, I'm just going to keep praying. You know, I'm just going to believe that he's going to perform. He's already performed. You're waiting on a performance that's already happened. You haven't gotten to the place where the performance is happening yet. It's like when you hold a ticket to go to a play, this play has already happened. It's happened over and over in rehearsal before it even hit the stage. It's already happened. It's happened because it was already written. It's happened because it was already established to be reenacted on this day. But you had to purchase the ticket to show up at the show in order to see it happening. If you purchase the ticket and you don't go to the show, you never see the show. Understand? If you purchase the ticket and you go to the show, then your expectation is that it's going to be a show. So why purchase the ticket and why act like we are connected in this kingdom and don't have an expectation to know that the show is going to happen? Because I'm going to arrive. I purchased my ticket. I'm going to arrive at the place where this happening is going to occur. He said, keep striking the wood. Don't stop. Because whether it's the third, the fifth, or the seventh, or the tenth, it's going to break. Here's the thing you're going to notice sometimes. Sometimes you're going to notice that it's a knot in the wood. Man, this was a thing. This is an objection. A knot? The knot is not in the outcome. The outcome is already settled. The knot or the kink is in something that's going on between you and this wood. You know, maybe it's a thought process. Maybe it's some identity crisis, whatever it is, an identity crisis of who he is, an identity crisis of who you are, because those are synonymous, right? Your relationship to these outcomes, whatever unworthiness or insufficiencies or whatever you think that you're dealing with, that's the knot. And so where there is a knot, you must turn the wood over. You must change the position of the wood in order to strike it from a different position. Because if you keep trying to hit a piece of wood on the knot, you're not going to be successful, all pun intended. You hitting on a knot, you're not going to be successful.
But if you turn it over and you strike it where there is no objection, you strike it where there is no not, you know, outside of all of the disbelief, outside of the all of the, you know, questions and uncertainties and all of these different things, if you strike it without that knot in the way, without the knot, you're surely going to break through it. Now, when it breaks on the other end where the knot is, it's going to break around the knot, but it's certainly going to break. It's certainly going to break. My God, who's calling me? You've got to strike it. You've got to keep striking it. Got to keep striking. Let me turn this off so I won't be tempted to answer it. You got to keep striking. We got to stop putting the Father on trial. This is the thing that the Israelites were really professionals at. The Hebrew children were professionals at putting him on trial, and we've been talking about that, that the difference between waiting on him and this waiting that people have in their minds is the fact that we're actively engaged in something. We're not sitting with our arms folded like, prove it to me. You know, we're actively engaged because of the word that he spoke. We're engaged in whatever activities surround the thing that he's spoken. You know, they put him on trial because they feel like he's not performing his word. You know this, that if he doesn't give it to you, he'll give it to them. This is what he did for the children of Israel, the Hebrew children. He didn't give it to the first generation that was in that wilderness, but he gave it to the second because it's relational. And what we need to do is make sure that we are in alignment in the relationship so that we can receive of the promise, because it's going to give an even better picture to those that are going to come behind us. They're going to be able to carry the thing that we started in. They're going to be able to carry it on. It's a legacy. The kingdom is legacy. You know, I love this part. It says, know therefore that Yah, your God, is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him. I think that's one of those areas that we don't really deal with a whole lot. We just, you know, we look at the fact that he's love and he loves everybody. But there's some clarity throughout scripture. He has a relational, an ongoing relational dynamic with those who want to have an ongoing relationship with him. It's the same thing that we should operate from. People that don't want to have a relationship with you, you shouldn't push the issue. Shouldn't push the issue, you know. You don't have to push the issue. You relate to people that relate to you, and you'll notice that in your own life. The people that don't want to do with you, you really don't want nothing to do with them because they don't want nothing to do with you, you know. That's the God thing. It's not just you. That's him. That's how he functions. He said, I love them that love me, you know. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. I'm not just, you know, if you going in the other direction, I'm not going to chase you down and make you come after me. But there's a constant engaging on both sides. You know, I found you first. I loved you first. Now I need you to seek me. I need you to find me. In other words, it's not I'm hiding from you, but I need you to identify. It's like in relationships, how you're constantly identifying something new about the person that you love. It's the same thing with our children. Every day there's something new that we can learn. As a people, every day there's something new that I can learn about you. Even though I'm in relationship with you right now, there's always something new to learn because you're such a vast creation of Yah. There's so many intricate details about you. You haven't even exhausted all of the intricacies of who you are. I haven't exhausted that yet, you know. But as we see him, the word says that we will be as he is, you know. These are those treasures that are hidden in the earthen vessel. These are the treasures that are hidden in us, that as we see him, we're becoming. There is a potential that is empowered by our posture and our function, how we're moving based on what we're hearing. And this is why it's so important what we're hearing. I plead with you today, like Moshe pled with the Hebrew children, and this is a word that I gave my children when they were younger. Don't be like the children of Israel, that first batch. Don't be like that generation that did not adhere. They could not wrap their heads around. They couldn't receive the relationship, you know. He came so strong because he wanted them to know who he was. And the strength of how he came to them was even shown in Egypt when he dealt with those gods. We were talking about this yesterday, when he dealt with the gods of the Egyptians, when he dealt with the fact that Pharaoh, who is seen as a god to the nations, he says, Moshe, I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh. He's like, all of that don't matter. What they think on a natural level, on a fleshly level, I'm superimposing myself in this situation. And whatever they thought was the case, I'm overthrowing those verdicts just to make sure that my verdict is clear, that I am the God of gods. I am the one and true living God. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I love his word, and I love how Torah takes us back to remembrance of things. Keep striking the wood this morning. Keep striking the wood. Keep striking it. Don't stop striking. In other words, you don't have to necessarily repeat what you said over and over again. It's the movement. It's the movement. See, you said, I'm going to chop wood. When you said, I'm going to chop wood, you had the movement. You were actualizing that, the movement that you're doing. So it's not the repetitive nature of the words that you're speaking. It's not the repetition. It's not in the repetition of what you're saying. It's in the repetition of what you're doing. It's the standing firm. It's the holding fast. It's that position that you're taking as a result of what's been spoken, what he said, and what you agreed with. Now I'm standing, and I'm functioning from this position that I'm standing in. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to move from this place. This is where I'm standing. And because I stand here, this is my function. This is my expression. We've got about 6 minutes left. If anybody has anything they want to share, feel free to share it now. Go ahead and jump in there. Just remember that Yah fights for you. He fights for you. If you guys don't have anything to say, that I'm going to jump to I'm going to jump to the prophetic portion, because I think we have time to hear that. I think we have time for the prophetic portion. So I definitely want to hear it this morning, because I think it's blessed as well. If you got something to say, you can jump in right now and say that. If not, I'm jumping to the prophetic portion of this Torah portion here. And I'm jumping to the prophetic portion. Here we go.
Comfort, comfort my people, said your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned,
yes,
that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Mm. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news.
Mm.
Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Mm. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God is with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? An idol. A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely have in the earth. He blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing.
Powerful, powerful passage. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you are valuing. If it's not him, then we're valuing the wrong thing. And that's even in how we identify with what he's saying to us. We've got to value the right thing. Even if you cover it in gold, it doesn't make it more valuable than him. Nobody is like, no other God is like our God in the earth. And so we're excited to be connected to this God of gods, this King of kings. And I'm excited to be here with you. Listen, we'll be here tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow. It's Friday, Thursday. We'll be here Monday. And we'll continue with dark psychology. I love you guys. Peace to you. The body is a me thing. It's a we thing.
Peace. Love you all.
Peace.